You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. And the bonus tag event is on right now. Receive $1,500 bonus cash towards the purchase of a new 2018 vehicle only at Lakewood Chev. Mark, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Whoa, fantastic. And I always enjoy when the Black Book comes out. You can go to hockeyprospect.com if people want to get the PDF there, or of course you can order and get the actual book. But people, I know they love the onlines and the PDFs. And the top two picks seem so cemented. I don't know if I've seen anybody talk to anybody who doesn't have a Dahlin one and Svechnikov two. But after that, there are some different ones. We'll get to your top, because the one guy that you had before anybody else, I noticed in the top 10, you had Vitali Kravtsov. The young Russian player who really kind of, I think, burst onto the scenes, especially in the KHL playoffs, and just slowly got better. I saw Bob McKenzie, I think, had him ninth on his list. What is about Kravtsov that you've liked, and is he a young kid who, just playing against men, just really started to find his way in the second half of the season?
Yeah, really love this kid. Just skill, and more skill. I played the majority of the season with Chelyabinsk in the KHL, as you mentioned, just against men. He had just around 7 points or something, and then a little more of a depth role. But the thing that I like is how he just kind of worked his way up the lineup and got himself more minutes. And then, as you mentioned, he had a good playoff. I think he set the KHL single season record for points by a U-20 player. So I think it was about 11 points in 15 or 16 games, and I think 6 goals. So really creative winger, really good dynamic puck skills, as I mentioned. There's a lot of goal-scoring skill here. A little bit slight, but he's 6'2". I think it was actually, he's just a hair under 6'3". He's closer to 6'3", about 185 pounds. And so for us, it was... It's an interesting player because, we see, we're traveling to the rinks, we're seeing everybody. And this kid, we had to just watch on tape. We just had to watch games, KHL games, et cetera, and figure him out, because he wasn't at any international event with, his countrymen. So a little bit different that way. And for me, I just kind of wanted to wait until I got some feedback on interviews. And because we kind of try and put our rankings as if we're an actual team and we got to pull the trigger here. And I wanted to get a sense from guys on his, openness to coming over and all that sort of thing. So through that, found out he's got a sister going to school in Toronto and that sort of thing. Got really good feedback. And he was talking through an interpreter, but really positive feedback on his interviews. So when you combine that with the ridiculous skill this kid has, high end goal scoring ability, thought he was a smart player, competed hard. Again, a little bit slight, but he's got room to grow into that, and not a small kid. And the end result is 6 on our rankings.
Now, Mark, when you guys come up with your final rankings, as you mentioned, you do it on who you think is the best, not who you think teams are going to take. Obviously, this is just your rankings on where you have. You got Brady Tkachuk 3, Zadina 4, Dobson 5. What do you like slightly better about Tkachuk over Zadina?
Yeah, that was a really tough. The three hole on our list, and I've mentioned this a few times in some interviews, the 3 to 7-8 area was really tight, but especially just the three main guys competing for the third spot on our list, and that was Brady Tkachuk, Philippe Zadina, and Noah Dobson, who ends up being our second highest defenseman behind Rasmus Dahlin, of course. So it came down to really the three guys, and then it came down, when we started going through it, Brady versus Zadina. And I kind of go to a tiebreaker where I'm picturing them in the playoffs. And we went around our guys and we just kind of gave the edge to Brady when we were, when we're doing these rankings, we're obviously watching NHL playoffs going on. And we're just kind of envisioning them both. And we just kind of liked what Brady would be able to bring to the playoffs if, he's going a game or two and not being able to score. He just brings so much else to the table with his power game and, he's not exactly a popular player for his opposition because he's such a pest as well.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. Looking at a few other ones, you know, Oliver Wahlstrom, I watched him. Him and Kravtsov, they might be the two best shooters, right? Like, from an Edmonton perspective, either one of them drops to number 10, you know, I'd be scooping them up because, you know, what the Oilers need is a scoring winger without question. Now, they've got two dominant centers. They need a scoring winger moving forward. There is a lot of defensemen, though, in the draft. You've got Noah Dobson. You got Quentin Hughes. You got Evan Bouchard. You got Adam Boqvist. All ranked anywhere between number 5 to 11, with Dobson coming out the highest, well, obviously after Dahlin. What is it about Dobson that you have him separated over Hughes, Bouchard, and Boqvist?
Yeah, so again, this was tight, this whole grouping, but we gotta rank them. So
yeah.
Dobson was an interesting one because we've got Jerome Berube, who's now in his seventh year with us, and Jerome heads up our Quebec Major Junior draft as well. So he had seen this kid going back. He wasn't the same size and really wasn't even close to the same player. So it was a little bit of a surprise to us because normally you kind of know what's coming out of the queue and have a pretty good idea, you know, where you're going to fit in. But this kid came out like, you know, barnstorming out of the gate here. And I saw him early on and then obviously just kept watching him. And he was impressive right from the get-go. So he's offensive defenseman, but he's very complete, very, very smart player, creative. I like him on the power play. I think he's got really good vision, a sense of when to jump in and join the play, a sense of when to skate it or pass it off, not keep his forwards sitting around waiting for pucks. He moves it pretty quick. And then a defensive zone, a smart player as well, reliable. His gaps are good. So not a whole lot of negative to him. I mentioned to somebody, I saw him play 1 week game, and it was the last game before the Christmas break, which I throw it anyway. But I was in Halifax watching the Junior A Challenge, so I went and watched him in Halifax, and it was by far the worst game I saw him play. And, you know, I think he was ready to head home for the old holidays.
Mark Edward joining us from HockeyProspect.com. If you want to get their black book, man, it is in depth, in detail on a lot of players. Once you get past, you know, it seems a lot of people have similar in the top nine, and then it, you know, it changes a little bit. One guy that you have a little higher is Dominic Bock and Martin Kaut, two European guys. I don't know much about them. Bock is a left winger, and Kaut's a right winger. You have them 13th and 14th. For our listeners, give me a little insight on those two and maybe reasons why the Oilers could be interested.
Yeah, so Bock, another really highly, one of the most skilled players in the draft. He's a German who went and to play in Sweden. He was actually, you know, kind of behind the scenes, was planning on playing for the Windsor Spitfires this year, but unfortunately they didn't land his rights in the import draft, so he stayed in Europe and went to Sweden and played over there. And he moved up and down between the SHL and the J20 team. I think he played about just under 20 SHL games. Again, you know, a lot of skill here. Play away from the puck, his skating mechanics are a little bit of a work in progress. But the skating, it's a little bit ugly, but he seems to always get there. He seems to always be the one that wins the race. So it's kind of one of those ugly but effective a little bit. Showed some separation speed, and like I said, he competed hard, really flashed the scoring ability, and, you know, that's what we're always looking for, that high-end skill. Thought he was a smart player. Compete was pretty good as well, and, you know, the end result is what you see. He's pretty highly up the list here. And then Martin Kaut is really one of my personal faves in this draft. He ended up going home with a heart issue from the combine. They flagged him, so he went home. Apparently that has all been taken care of. The surgery's done, and I'm really happy for that because this kid deserves to be a first-rounder. But if you believe what NHL Central has said, and I think Bob reported it, McKenzie reported yesterday, he's all clear. I talked to a lot of guys at the combine about it because they were right then doing their legwork, trying to figure it out, obviously, as a high-end player. But back to him on the ice, smart, he plays an NHL-style game already. And what I mean by that is there's not all kinds of turnovers and dangles trying to, you know, go through three guys. This kid's puck in, puck out. He's hard along the walls, wins those board battles. I think he's a pretty creative player. He's got vision, some scoring ability as well. He's not afraid to take pucks to the net, which is something I always look for and like to see. As I mentioned, down low, I thought he was one of the best forward checkers in draft. I also thought that the compete level didn't shy away when it's defensively. I thought he was one of the people that was showed the most effort coming back and with for some back pressure. And defensively, he was just solid all around. So easily one of my favorite players in this draft class, just from a real complete player. I don't do the comparisons much because people all of a sudden want you to, you know, they think you're cloning a guy. But
yeah,
there was little pieces of his game, smarts and that sort of thing, that kind of reminded me of like a winger version of Bo Horvat.
Okay. What's your thoughts on Ryan McLeod?
Oh, Ryan McLeod, there's a ton of skill there. He's got the size, all the tools. I mean, good skater, everything. Watched him going back to minor midgets, so I've seen a lot of this kid. Not really a guy that likes the traffic. Okay. So there's the two main things are, and I have used this example quite a while because you got a Barrett Hayton, who's one of the most talked about centermen and a bit of a weak centerman class. And one game I saw them head-to-head, it was in Mississauga, and Hayton was going through everything, driving through, fighting battles, anything to get to the net, anything to get to the puck. Whereas McLeod is like a big turns, perimeter. If he gains his own, he'll sail on the wall, you know, take the puck behind the net even, just anything but go to a tough area. And I'm not trying to sound too hard on the kid, but you know, just in answering kind of why he's not in our first round, just not seeing him do the things you want to see as far as really untapping the potential of those tools and getting the most production out of those tools. Because the tools are top 10, 12, 13 in this draft, in my opinion. But we're, in my opinion, and this is one of the closer rinks to my house, just not seeing the production out of those fantastic tools.
Okay, and yeah, you have him currently ranked 46th. On your list. Now, there's one interesting player. He's massive young winger, Noel Seron out of Oshawa. He's you guys have him ranked 21st. I'm curious, just his own teammate in Alan McShane. They're both now he's 18, I guess, is McShane. They're both draft eligible. McShane had 65 points. Seron Noel had 53. What you have Noel much higher? Is it just the size? What does he do that much better than McShane?
Yeah, so it's their size, obviously. Noel, there was some little bit of consistency. So the ranking is kind of on the good I saw instead of some of the weaker games. And trust me, the weaker, I mean, he wasn't awful or anything, but we're talking about a guy we're ranking pretty high up here in the draft. So there's some skill here for a huge 6'5" kid. He can really skate. And when he was on, he was unbelievable. I mean, he was definition of power forward, showing skill, flying all over the ice, playing big, but there was games where he didn't do that. And then when we compared to his teammate McShane can score. He's got a good shot. There's some offensive tools there, but he lacked in the skating department.
Okay.
I felt, and he lacked in the compete department. So I tell people we go through four things. The first thing I look for is IQ. Then I like skill, compete. They're pretty equal, and then we go skating. So we just talked about a player who's lacking, in my opinion, in two of those four, and that obviously, is shown in our ranking.
One guy who, and I'm sure you've watched him a lot, you're intrigued by him, many people are intrigued by him. You guys came down at number 70 in Ryan Merkley. I've seen people rave about his skill level without question. And this might be too harsh, is he just a head case?
I've got about 4 years worth of experience on him because a friend of mine coached him in his first year minor midget. It was a friend of mine that I coached junior with.
Okay.
And has sadly passed away. But back when he was coaching him, ran into him obviously a few times during that year. We had some discussions, and so I was on the lookout and had a heads up on this kid on the talent level, but that maybe, you know, there was some issues as far as compete goes and that sort of thing. So I'll stick to the ice because the talent is unreal. The offensive abilities, the skill level is high end. But the problem with Ryan, in my opinion, is he's selective on when he wants to compete. And, you know, if he sees an opportunity to get the puck on his tape and go in and score, well, that he looks like a player out there. But if it's, you know, defending, putting a body on someone, even showing effort just to skate with a player at times, I can't describe how how poor it was at times. I mean, standing still, you know, one of our guys described it. He's like, I couldn't believe it. He stood still and threw his arms up here and stared at the sky. Like, I saw my game in Sarnia last year that I left the rink and I was almost in disbelief at how poor of an effort he gave just in the compete department. Turnover a puck at his blue line, trying to skate through two guys, turns it over. They're going on a net and he stands in his blue line and literally turned around and watched them go in and did not move. So, I mean, when I coached, there would have been games where I think he would have seen three shifts of poor effort and he would have been watching the rest of the game. And I just, you know, watched them go out shift after shift after shift in some games. And just my jaw dropped with the lack of compete. Now, I think he started to get a sense that, you know, this wasn't going to cut it. And first round became a little bit of a might not happen. And we saw like some slight improvement. But for me, it's just he's just not what I'm looking for, not my cup of tea.
I always like to ask you this, Mark. You look at your ratings, and I know that, you know, a guy who's 4 and a guy who's 8, there doesn't have to be a massive difference between them. You just have to rank them at the end of the day. But outside of guys, and let's say in the top 15, is there a player that you like after number 15 that you think, you know what, in a few years he's really going to be a good player, he's just ranked a little bit lower?
Well, we got a guy at 16, so he squeezes in here. A little bit of a late riser because he wasn't on the radar coming into the season as far as the Swedish international team. His name's Nils Lundqvist, right-handed D-man, a little over 5'11", 175-ish pounds. And the best way I can describe him is when I watch sometimes, if I didn't catch his number right away, I mistook him for Adam Boqvist, who you've probably heard about as a little up the rankings. So some people have Lundqvist down in the second round somewhere. I'm really high on this kid. In Plymouth at the Five Nations in February, I thought he was fantastic. He went home. We had watched him earlier in an earlier fall tournament, and then he started playing pro in Sweden. And in the pro games, he was skating the puck, gaining the zone, really showing some really good skill with the puck. So he's kind of my guy that we've got up there a little higher than some that might just turn out okay. And then the other guy that we've had up in the late first all year long is a kid named Jay O'Brien, a little centerman. He played Thayer Academy High School in the Boston area. But the difference for him was he played a little bit with the U.S. national program. Now, he couldn't play internationally because he's a late birthday, so he was too old. But he did get invited to the Fall Classic in Pittsburgh, where I saw him play a few games. And then back in Plymouth, they let him play against Michigan State, a couple other teams here and there. So I think he's one of the most underrated players in this draft, personally. High, high compete. He's only just a hair under 5'11", not a huge kid, but really smart player, skilled, and competes. And I like to put him in my just a hockey player category, but it's not just a hockey player as a grunt. This kid's got skill.
Mark, great stuff, man. I highly recommend hockeyprospect.com for anyone. Get the black book if you want everything to know about the upcoming draft. And I know you guys always have stuff in. I always looked at it at next year's draft already for the real diehards to check that out. You got individual write-ups on all the players. Look forward to seeing you at the draft tomorrow.
Take care. Thanks for having me.